Welcome to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast.
Welcome to the Be Well Buzz podcast. This is your resident nutritionist, Sean Stevenson. And according to the ACA, 31 million Americans are experiencing low back pain at any given time. Back pain is actually the leading cause of missed work days in America. And it's actually the second most common reason for physician visits. And this is outnumbered only by upper respiratory infections. So this is ranked in the top two reasons why people are going into the doctor every single day. As a matter of fact, Americans spend at least $50 billion each year on back pain. And these are for the easily identified direct costs. This is not the indirect costs such as missed work revenue and decreased productivity in the workplace. Experts estimate that as many as 80% of the population will experience a significant back problem at least one time in their life. And this is actually my story. It was 12 years ago, actually now, many people don't know this, but I was diagnosed with a degenerative disc disease. And this is when I was just 20 years old. I was an aspiring athlete, had my whole life in front of me. And then overnight, seemingly, my life was brought to a sudden halt because it wasn't the fact that my back was even hurting. It was my leg. It was actually my right leg. I had this radiating pain. It was like an electric shock would go down my leg every time I would stand up. And eventually I realized later on, many years later, that I was actually afraid of standing up, which has a lot of deeper mental and emotional components to it in and of itself. You know, there's a double meaning there. So me being in the common paradigm about, you know, what do you do when you're subject to an injury like this or a condition, you go in, you see the medical professionals, and I actually saw five top professionals, and they all gave me the same story. I actually remember the first doctor that I sat down with, and he looked at my MRIs and told me about my condition. And I had a couple herniated discs at the time as well. And I said to him, you know, so what do we need to do, doc? You know, fix me up. Let's get it going. Because I was used to working in athletics, and that's just the kind of the nature of the thing. Let's fix it. And he looked at me with this sympathetic look. I'll never forget it. And he said, I'm sorry, son, there's nothing we can do. We can manage this, but, you know, this is an incurable situation. And part of my brain, that didn't even make sense to me. It didn't even register. So I literally asked him the question again. I said, so what do we need to do to fix this? Should I change the way I'm eating? Should I work out differently? Because, of course, at the time I was on the standard college kid diet, you know, fast food, pizza, all that kind of stuff. So, and he looked at me with this funny look at like, what are you talking about? And he actually said it has nothing to do with what you're eating. But then he subsequently went on to write me a prescription. So he was telling me that it had nothing to do with what I was putting in my mouth, but he wrote me a prescription to put some pills in my mouth. And that's part of where the disconnection in our modern paradigm exists, and ignoring some of these basic, literally right in your face realities and these simple principles about how to heal the human body. So my story is that I went on for 2 years with this intense suffering, and I'm not a wimp in any means when it comes to pain. But the pain was so bad in my case that I had to take medication to knock me out at night, because if I even made a movement, if I even shifted my body while I was sleeping, the pain would wake me up. And if you're not sleeping, you're not healing. So in and of itself, that was creating a tremendous amount of depression and anxiety and tension and a lot of suffering in my life at the time. And as I mentioned, I went on with this for 2 years, so the age from 20 to 22, and it was a very, very tough time in my life. And looking back on it from this point today, it was the most difficult time in my entire life, but I would not trade it for the world, because it was the greatest gift that ever happened to me, because that led me to getting back to me and getting back to basic principles about taking care of my body and learning about the fundamental nature of how the human body works, our mind, our emotions, how it all links up and to create a perfected human unit. And those who've been around my work, who've seen my physical fitness, they know that I'm beyond healed from that condition. I'm actually extraordinary in my physical appearance and my functionality. And it all began with me making a decision to get well. That was the first step. Before, I was just pining around asking these very disempowering questions, you know, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why can't anybody help me? And, you know, it's one of those universal laws, you know, you ask and ye shall receive. So I was getting more feedback as to why I was in so much pain. You know, why is this happening to you? Because you're having these certain character traits, because you're eating these certain foods, because you're participating in these disempowering relationships. So all these things were factors in that. And overnight, I switched and I began to ask, you know, what is it that I need to do to heal? And of course, linking up with a higher divine purpose and a higher relationship with the creative force of all of this, you know, to back me up on this, and the universal principle of these higher powers helping those who help themselves. So I began to ask, you know, what is it that I need to do to change? What do I need to do to heal from this situation, to be out of pain forever? And it wasn't just these asking the questions, but by the way, that night when I asked these questions, I had the first full night's sleep that I had had in 2 years without any medication. And I woke up the next day and I set out to unfold my complete plan that I had mapped out for myself. And that included a regimen and some of the things I'm going to share with you today. And 6 weeks later, the pain was completely gone. And when you go in and you get checked out, after seeing an MRI where your spine literally looks like an 80-year-old's, is what they told me when I was 20, and to having a perfectly regenerated, beautiful spine, there are no words that our modern medical paradigm can often give you except whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because they can't explain it. So that's what we're getting into today. And to start with is a real powerful understanding that the back is so complex. To say that you can heal back pain with one modality is simply not the case. So any of these little back pain cures, do these couple things, it's simply not the case. It's such a complex entity that it has to take a multifaceted approach to it. And for different people, there are going to be different things that they need to implement and to exercise every single day to recover from this. So what I can provide today is some significant structural components to consider and how to enhance their function. And we'll start off with the shock absorbers that actually allow for movement and balance. And these are the intervertebral discs. Now, the intervertebral discs are fibrocartilaginous cushions that serve as the spine's shock absorbing system, which protect the vertebrae, the brain, and the nerves that, you know, the brainstem that actually runs through the spine itself. So it's obviously pretty important to have these cushions working in high function and good working order. Now, the intervertebral discs are comprised of a nucleus pulposus, and this is a gel-like core of a disc. And then it has the annulus fibrosus, which is a strong tire-like connective tissue ring that holds this nucleus in place. Now, both of these are mainly comprised of collagen, proteoglycans, and the most critical substance of all, water. Now, in particular, it's the nucleus pulposus that needs to have a well-hydrated gel that resists compression. And this hydration is determined upon the amount of clean, pure water that is actually drawn into the nucleus by its biochemical constituents through osmosis and diffusion. So the water doesn't directly go into the discs. It's through osmosis and diffusion, but the hydration, the water needs to be there. And the amount of water that's going to be getting into the disc actually varies throughout the day for every single person, depending upon their levels of activity, their nutritional protocol, so many different factors. And it's a variable thing. It's always in flux. So one of the fundamental things to understand is that your body will draw water and other nutrients from areas that are deemed to be less critical at any particular time and put them where they're most needed. Okay, your body is a highly intelligent system. So for example, if your blood, which is rightfully known as the river of life, is transporting nutrients and circulating all these metabolic factors throughout your entire system, so your blood is, it's the deal. It's so, so important. And if your blood begins to become dehydrated, it starts to get thicker, and your blood pressure begins to go up, and things are running very sluggishly, this can create a fibrinogen release into the system, which is a stress reaction, and make the blood really, really sticky. So in order to diffuse that, your body will intrinsically start to pull hydration from places where it is going to be less important at. And one of those places might be your discs. It might actually pull that hydration to aid in just making your blood flow properly. Okay, I hope that's making sense to you. So if your body's not provided with the optimal hydration it needs, it will literally rob it from one area to put to somewhere else where it's more needed at the time, just to keep you alive first. Your body could care less about you being in a little bit of pain and not being able to exercise without pain, rather than not literally having your blood circulate in your body and you die. Okay, so we have to understand that. So another important understanding is that the intervertebral discs are considered to be non-vascular. Okay, they're non-vascular. So this means that they're one of the last places to receive hydration. They're one of the last places to receive that circulation coming from the blood, coming from that hydration into the disc themselves. And it's also one of the first places to become deficient in it. So this is pretty important understanding to gain here, is that our discs are non-vascular. So one of the keys here, one of the big takeaways from today, is that you need to super hydrate your system. Whether you're dealing with back pain right now or you're prone to dealing with back pain, make sure that you're super hydrating your system and over providing your body with enough hydration to make sure that those shock absorbers are sufficient in their hydration. But there's a big caveat here, because it's not just that. Your body's not just going to put those nutrients there. It's not just going to put the hydration there because you want it to. Okay? It's a principle of, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you're not using your spine, if you're not exercising your back, if you're not mobile, your body doesn't have a reason to draw those nutrients into the joints, into the discs. So you actually have to use your body. And one of the worst things that you can do when you're diagnosed with any kind of back problems is to do nothing. That is one of the worst things you could do. Bed rest one day, a day and a half tops, but then you need to start moving around. You need to start doing some physical therapy exercises and allowing your body to regain that homeostasis. If you just lay around, it's going to exacerbate the problem. And that's one of the things that happened with me. I was listening to the so-called experts telling me what to do, and they were having me wear a back brace and telling me, don't do this, don't do that, bed rest. 2 years as a young man. And I was afraid that it was a wrap for me, you know, because I had gone so long listening to that and not doing anything, that my body wouldn't remember how to fix itself. Not so. As soon as I started moving around, and I did this very intelligently, okay, I started off with a certain protocol of doing things very light, and I built my way up to the point that I was free. I was free from that whole problem. So the worst thing you can do is nothing. So write that down. And if somebody's in a significant amount of pain, you know, they're dealing with degenerative disc disease like I was, herniated discs, ruptured discs, things like this, something that would be really great to just start with is light rebounding, to get yourself a good high quality rebounder and to do a health bounce, which is going to intrinsically start to hydrate the joints and hydrate those discs. So this is not jumping up and down 20 feet off the trampoline. This is just a simple health bounce where your feet actually stay on the trampoline itself. And that's one good place to start. So that's one structural thing, is the discs. And that's one of the big, big problems that people are dealing with today. So some other places to look are hamstring tightness. So these are those really thick, powerful muscles on the back of your thighs. And when the hamstrings are tight, they're going to have a tendency to cause strain on your lower back muscles as well. So to get into some practices where you're working on those hamstrings and loosening those up, and even exercising your hamstrings and gaining some more muscular intelligence, some neuromuscular intelligence there. Another part of the body that can cause a problem, which, you know, if we understand the body properly and understanding that the body is a whole series of levers and pulleys, if there's something out of alignment, even in your shoulders, this can affect your abdominals. You know, if there's something out of alignment at one place in your body, this can cause problems throughout your entire system, because everything is linked up through this amazing system of levers and pulleys. So another one is that your quads, really tight or underdeveloped quads or overdeveloped quads can pull down on your pelvis or not pull on your pelvis enough. So this can shift your hips out of alignment and cause back problems. Okay, so again, I hope that's making sense to you. So making sure that the quads are developed and they're not overly tight, so they're not pulling down on the pelvis, which is more of a big problem than the quads being underdeveloped. Another place to look, and one of the real big causes of back pain, but most people have no idea about this, is the SI joint. And I can do a whole program on any one of these things, but just to give you a little brief summation, the SI joint is sort of where your spine is kind of latching to your hips in that kind of connection. And it's this very tiny joint that only has a few like millimeters of movement to it. And it's sort of like a key going into a lock. And it's this jagged fit, you know, that the key has to fit exactly in there. And if it gets caught, you know, if you have a key that gets jammed, it can be very, very difficult to unlatch it. And because your sciatic nerves are going through that part of your body, it can cause a lot of back pain. Okay, so the SI joint might be a place to look, and that would be a place to be able to learn to do some therapy exercise on yourself or get some therapy from a very intelligent physical therapist. Another place to look is the hip flexors. And this part of the body is tremendously problematic for people in our modern society where we're sitting all day. The hip flexors get really, really tight from sitting too much. And this is one of the direct causes of low back pain as well. So making sure that we're doing some movement, getting up frequently, moving around, and doing some stretches for our hip flexors, that in of itself can really heal a really long-term lingering problem for people if they just learn about how to take care of these basic things. Another place to look is the psoas. And this muscle ties directly to the spine. So learning how to do some psoas stretching. Now, to move on from this, another place to look is the fact that just pure exhaustion itself can cause you to have poor posture, which can cause some long-term problems. And this exhaustion is from, you know, can be during exercise where you're doing way too much and you start to compromise your form and you can hurt yourself. And just life in general, this very stressful world that most people are operating in and most people are subject to every day can start to weigh you down literally and affect your posture and thus affecting your back. And when your back is hurting, your quality of life sucks. You know, it's one of those things that if your back is messed up, nothing else really matters. So, and of course, I can really truly identify with that. And a big result of this, you know, all these different muscles I'm talking about, just giving you just a basic summation of this stuff, is from a problem or a condition that I like to refer to as chair back. Do you have chair back? You know, this is from sitting in a chair, sitting on the couch for hours and hours a day, whereas our ancestors were up, not working out all the time, okay? Just romping around, playing, moving around, doing this and that, just moving around more, you know, whereas we kind of plant ourselves in a chair and we're there for quite a bit of time every single day. So if you have chair back, you better believe that you're going to have some of these attached problems. You know, so we have to be able to get up and move around. Some people have actually started to use stand-up desks, which is a phenomenal idea. I currently am not using one, but I wouldn't mind having that. So if you have back problems as a big issue in your life, then that might be something to consider as well. And one of the things that we want to do there is to maintain proper posture, okay? Really making sure that your spine is in alignment. And if you don't know what that looks like, this would be a good place to get in touch with a highly adept chiropractor or a physical therapist, somebody who's in the natural health protocol, an intelligent physician who's into functional medicine, you know, so they can inform you and teach you, because the word doctor means teacher. But many people in the health profession, many doctors have forgotten that. You're supposed to sit down with your clients and your patients and teach them. And this is something I pride myself on doing with all of my clients and giving them the empowerment and the knowledge to be able to work within themselves and to heal themselves and not be dependent on me or anyone else for basic things in their health and fitness and the health of their family. So to be able to get this kind of education, just to have someone to sit down with you and explain about how the back is supposed to look, the way that you need to be standing, the muscles that you need to work to balance yourself out, very important. Some quick and easy things, because a lot of women deal with low back pain and they, because they're so tough, they don't really even talk about it, which is funny enough because, you know, you would think there would be guys who are more apt to not talk about the pain they're in. But for women, wear comfortable low-heeled shoes. You have no idea what those pumps, those stilettos are doing to your low back and your back in general, your posture. I know it's sexy. I know it's attractive and it can be fun. And honestly, I don't even know how you guys do it and just being so graceful with those heels on. But it's not worth it for you to be in pain. So you can even create a whole new fashion revolution by going low-heeled and getting some shoes that actually feel good. What a concept. So, and another thing as far as the proper posture is just to move around a lot more. You know, get up. If you're at the desk for 45 minutes, get up and walk around for 5 minutes. Simple things that are easy to do and easy to implement. And so now this leads us to the topic at hand and where my expertise really lies, which is the nutritional components here. And understanding that for me personally, one of the big issues was that my body was extremely deficient on those things that actually regenerate and create my body, in particular my spine. It's a very simple concept that you can grasp if you understand that if you're building a house and you don't bring all the raw materials you need, you know, the plywood, the cement, all the different tools and whatnot, if you don't provide all that stuff, then you're not going to be able to build a good house in the first place. So if you're not providing your body all the raw materials that it needs to build itself, it's going to become deficient and it's going to begin the process of deterioration and breaking down. Even those individuals that are in the quote natural health community are providing themselves with an abundance of food, but it can be problematic. And where a big portion of this nutritional deficiency, and which leads to low back pain, autoimmunity, arthritic conditions, all those kind of things, is that, you know, people are putting nutrients into their body, but they have a condition called leaky gut syndrome due to some of the foods that they're eating or have eaten in the past that are literally blocking the uptake of certain nutrients and actually pulling nutrients from their system. And to give you a bigger understanding of this, one of the big culprits here is gluten, and in particular grains. So grains have a compound, like we'll take wheat as an example, known as lectins. And lectins are anti-nutrients. These lectins are defense mechanisms in the grain itself, in the wheat itself, to protect it in nature. And it does the same thing once it gets into your body. It's very difficult for your body to break it down, that those proteins, which gluten is a protein, into amino acids, which your body will use to rebuild you. Your body can take amino acids and ship it wherever it needs. But when a complete protein structure tries to push itself through the microvilli in your gut, this can create a sort of like a perforation in your gut lining and allow for whole protein structures to make their way through your gut lining and into your system. And that is a big time problem because your immune system is used to seeing amino acids come in. When it sees a complete protein structure get in through your microvilli, through your gut lining, the immune system is set off and it's going to go and it's going to break that stuff down. The problem is that anything that looks similar to that complete protein, it's going to go and attack that. So your knees, some of the ligaments or tissues in your knees might look very similar to that complete protein that came in. So your immune system will go and wipe that out too. And this is called molecular mimicry. So if you have back problems and you have degeneration going on, chances are you're a victim of this. You have leaky gut. And this is something you will not normally hear in our common medical paradigm, but this is something that is a smoking gun for these kind of problems. So my recommendation is that if you even have a hint of back problems, eliminate grains from your diet. It's one of the best things that you can do. And the funny thing is that this is at the bottom of the food pyramid, that, you know, we're told to get like 6 to 11 servings of grains a day, which this is a new invention. This has only been around for a few decades to even, you know, it was once understood that if you eat grains, it's a surefire way to gain weight, you know, to add fat. And all moms knew this until they shifted the marketing around and Betty Crocker came along and said, you know, hey, make cakes and bread and all this stuff. But in actuality, those things are pro-inflammatory. And also they have protease inhibitors. Wheat has protease inhibitors, which actually will block the uptake of amino acids. So the building blocks for you to regenerate your spine, because you're eating grains, will block that from happening. Okay, so this isn't something to just listen to the expert on. This is something to do your research. Look into it. Look into gluten allergies, and it's linked to arthritis, back pain, degeneration, all those kind of things. And just get educated for yourself. I'm just providing the insight here for you to take it to another level, because we can spend, you know, a whole other program just talking about that in and of itself. So I want to move on and talk about another thing, which usually, and this is something that I was on to, is the NSAIDs. And that's an acronym. It's NSAIDs. And these are, you know, the ibuprofen, things like that. And here's another one of those funny problems, is that these temporarily, of course, they gave me a lot of relief, but these exacerbate the problem long term, because guess what they do? Ibuprofen is widely known to damage the gut lining. All right, you see how that all links together? So you'll basically never be rid of this problem, because you're treating symptoms with these NSAIDs. You're not actually removing the underlying cause, which is leaky gut, which is eating foods that are actually robbing your body of the ability to process nutrients, blocking certain other nutrients, and making you deficient. Okay, so that's one of the big underlying root problems. Another root problem, which is directly linked to low back pain, is constipation. And in my practice, you would be surprised over the years how many people I've worked with that, you know, coming in, they're using the bathroom, they're having a bowel movement every 4 or 5 days. Not every day, not twice a day, not every other day, 4 or 5 days. The record, I mean, some people would be like over a week. And wow, where's all the food going? Seriously, because you're putting all this stuff in, but nothing's coming out the other end. Yeah, it's like, you know, people are literally running around and they're full of this stuff. They're full of crap. And that has some symbolic nature to it as well. So, but anyways, the constipation issue is a direct effector of low back pain. It's a direct causation for experiencing back pain. It's having all that impacted fecal material and waste putting pressure onto those muscles and onto those nerves in your low back. So getting your digestive system squared away. And another thing that links to that is, you know, the leaky gut, and just having everything sorted out there. For many people, actually, I can't really give a percentage of how many people it affects and just completely takes care of their back pain, but it's a pretty nice chunk. Just getting that digestion in order helps them to no longer have back pain they've been dealing with for many, many years. And it's simply because they don't know about this information. You know, when you know better, you can do better. And what you don't know can hurt you, contrary to popular belief. And so back to reference my particular problem, my issue was that my body at the time when I was diagnosed with that condition was so acidic. I was so acidic that my body was actually leaching minerals from my spine, namely calcium, to aid in other processes that were deemed more important by my body. So, for example, your body needs calcium for your blood to clot. Calcium's needed for your muscles. But more importantly, though, is the blood clotting issue. So again, is my body going to be concerned about my back, or is it going to be concerned about my blood and me staying alive for that moment? So what's going to happen for individuals is that when your body's in a net acid load, in a state called acidosis, your body's going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's going to be taking stuff from over here to take care of a problem over there, but leaving you deficient. And that's what was going on with me. And I remember a credible book had landed in my hands at the right time for me, because I didn't even know how I was making myself better. And it was a book called Acid and Alkaline by Herman Iara. And it literally detailed exactly what was going on with me. It was talking about the fact that when your body's in this net acid state, it's going to rob minerals, namely calcium, from your hip and from your spine first to aid in these other processes. And coincidentally, my hip, when I was 16 or 17, I actually broke my hip just running. I was doing a time trial in track, and I was just running, and the iliac crest, the tip of my hip, just broke off. I pulled a muscle, and it broke away with it because my body was so deficient. But, you know, I went through physical therapy, rehab, and all this stuff, but nobody worked with me on a holistic, whole perspective as a human being and helped me to understand what the problem was. You know, I healed because I was young and I got everything back on track, but not so. You know, just, you know, 2-3 years later, my life was in shambles because of this whole underlying causality of this low back pain. So how are we creating this net acid load in our systems? Well, it's certain foods and beverages that are put into the body that help to create this condition. I'll share a few of them with you. Number one, and the most easily removable and also the most highly impactful because it's in liquid form, is soda. So this is pouring in a ridiculous amount of these acidic compounds along with processed refined sugar, which are known to leach minerals, is known to leach calcium from your bones. If you're dealing with back pain, if you're dealing with arthritic conditions and you're drinking soda, it's just foolish. It's absolutely foolish. You need to throw that stuff away. And I hate to say it like this, but you need to grow up, stop with the sodas. All right. Now, sodas actually started off as something healthy back in the day, you know, which many people don't know this, these soda waters, where they were using carbonated spring water and all these different amazing herbs to make these elixirs and these drinks that would bring health to the body. But then it turned into industry, you know, faster, cheaper, more impact, and addictive. And now it's become this really damaging thing, and it's has no place in the human body whatsoever. So soda, and in league with that one, is alcohol, namely grain alcohols. And we just talked about the damaging effects of grains. So we're drinking a refined carbohydrate, refined grain product in the form of beer and some of these other things. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to leach minerals from your body and cause you all kinds of problems, along with the liver issues and, you know, the body fat issues and all those kind of things, insulin resistance. So it's, if you want to get this problem out of your life, those things need to be thrown out. Next would be refined sugar of any kind. And this gets kind of tricky in the natural health world because, you know, we think that our favorite sweetener is okay, you know, because it, some experts said that, you know, agave is super healthy. When in fact, if you see the actual sap, because it's like a sap, how does it turn into this thick liquid that we see on a store shelf? Well, it's because it's processed and refined and it's cooked. And that becomes this really dangerous sugar substance, which agave actually has more fructose than high fructose corn syrup. So this is going to intrinsically fill up your liver glycogen stores rather than your muscles, and it's going to start to convert into palmitic acid, and it's going to start to cause problems with cholesterol, getting oxidized, and all kinds of stuff that I can get into, but I'm not going to get into. But regardless, for your sweeteners, just stick to the real essential basic stuff we know has worked for a long time. Raw honey, that one gets a thumbs up. And a little bit, maybe maple syrup, because it's the same kind of process. We take that sap and then it's heated and all that stuff. But it seems to have a much better balance. It doesn't have as much fructose and a lot more minerals than those cooked agave products. Now, I'm not saying that agave, if you actually get a true raw agave, can be very helpful, you know, with the inulin and its prebiotic and all those good stuff. But the stuff on the store shelves is usually not a good idea. So just your idea of refined sugar. It's not just the pure cane processed white powder sugar that looks like cocaine. It's not just that stuff that we use to make Kool-Aid and baked goods. It's not just that stuff. It's also the so-called healthy ones. You need to be careful if you want to get over these back problems. And then, of course, when we're talking about sugar, we're talking about carbohydrates, which we just went through that and all the problems that those lectins can cause, the protease inhibitors can cause. So we want to remove grains. Just give it 30 days and see how your back feels. You know, if you don't believe all the science that's out there on it and all the years that I've been doing this, if you're not hearing that, just give it 30 days, test it out and see how you feel. Okay, so gluten in particular containing grains, but really, if you really want to get over this, just eliminate all grains just for 30 days and eat all the other amazing food that is available to you, but get rid of the gut damaging stuff that is pulling minerals from your spine. Okay. Another problem can be overcooked animal foods. So if an individual is an omnivore and eating animal foods, one of the big problems that comes into play, you know, because we've seen tremendously healthy individuals and cultures who eat animal foods, but they're not cooking the daylights out of it, which is creating carcinogens and creating congestion in the body because it's so dense and it has all these different carcinogens and really coagulated proteins. So that can create some congestion, which can lead to that constipation. Okay, so you have to be careful with that. Another thing would be pasteurized dairy. The highest dairy consuming countries have the most osteoporosis. What a coincidence. Now, it's not the dairy, it's the pasteurization and getting it from sick animals. Okay, so if you're going to participate in dairy, you need to make sure that you're getting it from a reputable source that are grass-fed, raw dairy, and use it like that. If you're going to do it the way that it was done for our documented human civilization. Do it in that way. And according to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, dietary protein increases production of acid in the blood, which can be neutralized by calcium mobilized from the skeleton. So this dietary protein intake, if we're eating a very, very high protein diet, which will come in the form of pasteurized dairy, for example, is actually going to pull calcium from your skeleton to neutralize all these acids that are a result of this high protein substance without all the other good stuff. Because contrary to popular belief, when you take that milk and you cook it, you're damaging and losing about 50 to 70% of the vitamins and minerals that are in there. This is according to the Max Planck Institute. You're going to lose a lot of those minerals that you're trying to get. And this was put out there by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 1995. I wish that someone would have told me this when I had this problem in the year 2000 and helped me to get over this. But now you get it today and you can help other people with this information. And so now that we've went through the big problem and the challenges and the stuff that causes issues, let's get into some of the things that we want to incorporate. Now, this is with a really sound, high raw, high nutrient dense diet. And these are some things to add into that strategy. First one that I really like in this is aloe vera. Now, aloe vera, if you can get the whole leaf and fillet it and add it to, you know, a little piece to your smoothie or to your soups and stuff like that, that would be best. But if you need to get the aloe vera juice, make sure that you get a raw, unpasteurized, really great aloe vera product. Now, why it's so powerful is that it has these collagen building components to it, sulfur bearing amino acids, polysaccharides, which are these essential sugars, these essential glyconutrients that help to improve the cellular communication in your body. And it's very rich in antioxidants as well. So it's a real powerhouse food. And according to the doctrine of signatures, you know, the sign of nature that will literally show you by the way a food looks, smells, tastes, or how it functions in nature, what part of the human body will work on. If you fillet that piece of gel out and you look at it, it looks like what your disc in your back should look like, where the cushion shock absorber stuff in your joints should look like. Okay, so that's telling you, it's giving you a little hint. So aloe vera is one that I really like here. Another one is camu berry, anti-inflammatory antioxidants, ranked number one for osteoarthritis, actually, by the former head of the USDA. So ranked number one for osteoarthritis. Another one I really like in this case is mangosteen. So mangosteen has compounds that are known as COX-2 inhibitors. So basically, they help to eliminate pain without eliminating the healing response. Because there are certain things that block both things, COX-1 and COX-2, that actually block the healing response of the body itself. And what we want is the healing response to happen without all the excess pain and inflammation. So these are where COX-2 inhibitors are really fantastic at. And mangosteen is one of those great foods that provides an abundance of those. Also rich in antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin A, anti-inflammatory, really great thing to add in. Another place to look and something to add in would be chia. I really like chia seeds for helping to help low back pain for multiple reasons. Number one is the 3-to-1 omega-3 to omega-6 ratio, because people are chronically overdoing omega-6s in our current society, which is a pro-inflammatory omega fat, you know, those omega-6s. So we want to get that into balance. And this is ALA. It's not DHA and EPA, which we really, really need, but ALA can help to shore up some things. Another reason I like it, some building blocks. It's 19 to 23% protein. And one of the best things about it is that it's hydrophilic. It actually has this amazing gel forming ability. And you can see this, you know, when you mix it into your different smoothies and you add it to water, it actually will absorb quite a bit of its weight in water. And this is really great for your digestive tract, for healing that. And also, you know, it goes back to those gelatinous type of substances and foods that give us those qualities, like the aloe vera, because it's a gel that our discs, that our intervertebral discs are made of. So we want to eat things that provide more qualities like that into the body. And it's really, really simple stuff to do. It's simple stuff to add in, you know, toss them into your, you can make, you know, a chia fresca, you know, where you make like a little lemonade kind of thing and put some chia seeds in there. Add them to your different granolas and all that kind of good stuff. Just get them in, get into your body. And another thing right along those lines would be flax seeds. And I'm a fan of flax seeds because they have many of the same qualities as chia, not as powerful, but they're very inexpensive. And one of the great things about them is that they help to keep the digestive tract clean. So get chia seeds whole and grind them yourself. Okay, if you're buying it already pre-ground, they've probably oxidized and it's not the best thing. So we want to grind it fresh ourselves, then use what you want to use and package the rest up, keep in the refrigerator. That'd be the best way to try to take care of your ground flaxseed. And it's really great for keeping that digestive tract clean, as I mentioned. And, you know, understand that constipation is a big issue here with back pain. Another one that I would say is critical in this case would be getting a really high quality source of DHA and EPA. These are the things that actually create the cell membranes that you have and are implicated in numerous anti-inflammatory processes in the body. So this would be something like fish oil, krill oil, or if you're vegan, an algae oil. And then if you add to the mix a little bit of coconut oil, those give you a really great array of essential fatty acids. But in particular, you want to get a really good quality fish oil. And one study showed that neurologists investigated whether omega-3 fatty acids found in fish oil reduced inflammation, which is a cause of pain in most arthritis patients. Placing 120 patients on fish oil supplements, the researchers found that 59% reported decreased joint pain, and 68% of them were able to discontinue prescription drugs entirely. And that's just one study that you can look out and grab that talks about the benefits of fish oil. And all these different things about omega-3s, you know, from chia and flax and all these other sources, these are great. But the studies that are done, 99.9% of them are used doing fish oil, not anything else, because it actually has the EPA and DHA. Until we see the facts on the other stuff, we want to make sure that we're getting this stuff in and not depriving your body of something that can help you to heal. Now, one more that I'll go ahead and add to the mix here, and something that I really like in helping to eliminate back pain, would be chlorella. And this is a broken cell wall chlorella that we're going to need to get. And what chlorella can actually do is it reduces the circulating toxins and bile autotoxification. And this consequently can improve lower back pain. Some of the other great things about chlorella is chlorella growth factor, which is specific to this particular food, which is great for your nervous system getting built. And, you know, the pain all has to do with the nerves. It's 60% digestible protein, and it's actually the highest food source of RNA, okay? And these foods with DNA and RNA, these are the deal. These are all about repair and production of everything in your body. Candy bars don't have that. Quote, whole grain cereals don't have that. They don't have DNA and RNA. Chlorella has it. So I'd put chlorella right at the top three things that I would have someone add in if they're dealing with low back pain. And you know what? I'll go ahead and add one more to the mix, because this one is really, really important as well. And this is magnesium. And magnesium would be something that I'd say, okay, go ahead, I'll give a thumbs up on a supplement, because I'd rather see people eating whole foods or some concentrates of these different whole foods rather than any supplements. So magnesium you can get from things like spirulina, chlorella, green vegetables in particular, and just eating lots of greens like kale and all that kind of good stuff, maybe juicing some of your vegetables. But to supplement it would be very effective here, because it's actually the number one mineral deficiency in our modern society, magnesium. Okay, and why it's so important is it actually is responsible for over 300 enzymatic processes in the body. So we're talking about making stuff happen. Magnesium helps kidney function, and kidney stress is one of the main causes of back pain as well. It can help to relax muscles and muscle tension, which is another big reason for back problems. And it also helps with the assimilation of calcium. And it's not about calcium. People taking calcium supplements, we've talked about this a lot here at Be Well Buzz, throw the calcium pills out the window. Even CNN, you can go just Google CNN and calcium and heart attack and see what comes up. 30% greater incidence of having a heart attack if you're taking a calcium supplement, because it's not calcium that helps to build stronger bones in the way that we've been taught. Things like magnesium and silicon, these biologically transmutate to become the calcium that we need. Calcium is an end product. And just to take the end product and expect your body to do something with it, this will calcify your arteries. Okay, so we need to throw that stuff out and get on to the magnesium supplements. And I really like Magnesium Calm, a product called Magnesium Calm. Really great, right before bed, can do a lot of wonders for your life. Now, for those individuals that have really got their nutrition dialed in, they're eating the best food in the world, they're super hydrating their system, they're doing the right amount of exercise for their body and their body type, not too much, not too little, and they're still dealing with these chronic back issues, we have to bring to the table one of the big misconceptions and underlying causes of back pain that is so neglected and so overlooked, and the fact that the majority, 90 to 96% of all doctor visits now are for stress-related illnesses. This is a fact. This is something that you can research and find out for yourself. And it's a big paradigm shift, and understand that your mind and your emotions are intimately connected with the outpicturing and the functionality of your body. Just having a stressful thought about something you're very, very worried about will literally change your blood chemistry, will literally change the hormones that are being built, will literally change the functionality of your muscles and your posture based on your state. And this is kind of common sense stuff that our modern medical paradigm often overlooks, and they do not acknowledge oftentimes that the emotional mind can cause physical symptoms in the body. It's just like we throw that right out the window, when in fact, it's the exact opposite. Your emotions and your mental state are the guiding force for your physical expression. And this is one of the main reasons why modern medicine is so poor at healing chronic degenerative issues. They're great at trauma. If you break an arm in an accident, yes, to patch you up, give you some drugs so you don't feel the pain, that's fantastic. But for chronic degenerative illness, it's a failed system. It's a failed system. You know, the war on cancer started a few decades ago. Billions upon hundreds of billions upon hundreds of billions have been invested in that. And the best we can come up with is chemotherapy and radiation. You know, things that actually kill people as healing modalities. So, but that's a whole other subject in and of itself. But just understanding that your mind and your emotions are one of the big players in that back pain. Okay, and these emotions for different people can be very powerful. For some people, they know it. And for some people, it can be seemingly ineffectual. They won't have any idea that has anything to do with it. And I was one of those people. I am one of those people sometimes. And we forget how our emotions can play its role on your body. Many people with back pain have serious emotional issues resulting from physical or sexual abuse, abandonment, neglect. These are all common contributors to emotionally generated back pain. And some very adept chiropractors can actually look at your back and they can know where you're at in your life and, you know, your life structures, you know, what's going on with some of your history, which sounds a little bit out there, but, you know, seeing it firsthand myself is pretty impactful and pretty remarkable. And one of those big things is that, you know, just to get one takeaway from this, the representation of your back, and we've all heard the whole saying of having your back, someone has your back. If you don't feel like that, if you feel like you're cut adrift, if you feel like you don't have support, be it from, you know, your close family, your relationship partner, but it's usually from the parents. If you feel like you're missing that, you might have a tendency towards having back issues show their face. And this isn't always the case. This is just something to assess and to kind of throw out there for you to have a look at. And then to work with somebody or get into a program or find ways of working on yourself to help to resolve these issues, to get your emotional fitness lined up. Because there are some people who actually have what's called a back pain prone personality. And they actually do things, self-sabotage themselves continuously as part of their character to go into this back pain. Okay, and you may be one of those people who are, you know, you get well and you self-sabotage and put yourself back into that state. This is a really, really big issue that requires a lot of in-depth discussion, you know, but today it's just really providing an overview and some real powerful bullet points to look at to help to eliminate back pain and also to help your friends and family because so many people are dealing with this. So lastly, I want to provide you with some important complementary practices that you can add in to your overall nutrition strategy, your emotional fitness strategies, you know, your meditation, your reading, whatever the case may be that helps you out with getting yourself in balance. Here's some other complementary practices. And again, it depends on person to person. Not everything works for everybody. And you need to find out what works best for you. One of those is acupuncture. Okay, so this is dealing with the meridians and opening up energy channels in the body, blockages, things of that sort. You can get a lot more information from a very adept acupuncturist and, you know, go get a procedure done and see if it helps. Chiropractic, you know, this is a field that I've come to have a lot of respect for. And chiropractors are, they tend to be the doctors who have a lot more idea about functional medicine, nutrition, and all these great things. So seeing your chiro or getting in touch with a good chiropractor might be something really beneficial for you. Massage therapy, it's great. That's all I can say. If you can treat yourself to that, whether or not you're dealing with back pain, it can be really beneficial. There's so much power in that on multiple levels. Even getting your fascia worked on, that's another area to look into, but that's not as pleasurable or relaxing, but you know, it can be. So massage therapy. Another thing is inversion therapy. So literally unloading your spine, taking some of that load off. Another place to look would be grounding and grounding technology, where you're getting your body connected to the Earth's magnetic field. And it's shown study after study to be likely the most powerful anti-inflammatory thing that you can do. So look into earthing and grounding. And there's a great book out there by that name, Earthing, that you can look into and look at some of the studies and get some more information on grounding technology. Another thing is something we mentioned earlier, which is rebounding. It could be very beneficial. And then lastly, which is just super important based on all the different muscles I went through, is flexibility training. Getting in a daily practice of doing some flexibility work. And yoga can be a great place to look into for this, you know, but you need to do it in balance. If you have a history of back problems, you need to do a yoga class in balance. You're not trying to go into a boot camp yoga class where it's just, you know, all out warfare. Okay, so it's not that kind of yoga, just something gentle and that just brings a focused intentionality to creating more flexibility and balance and stress relief to the body. So this podcast has been loaded with great information that you can use to help yourself and help other people. And we'll provide a more encompassing program about back pain in the future because it's such a big issue. But for now, these are some incredible places to start. And these might actually provide you with the things that help to clear up problems that you've been dealing with for many, many years just by implementing some of the things you've learned about today. So make sure to share this info because it can truly make a difference in someone's life who you care about. This is Sean Stevenson signing off from Be Well Buzz, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast. Go to www.bewellbuzz.com for free articles and news about natural health and wellness.